Every head bowed. And just sing to him, awesome God. Awesome God.
How great thou art.
Yes.
You are God. Mighty are your miracles. We're standing on of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Sing holy, holy are you, Lord. All creation call you God. Worthy is your name. We worship your majesty. Oh, awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Lord, we bow and worship you. Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow this morning to worship you, the everlasting God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one that does miracles that are past finding out. Daddy, we appreciate you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for your works in our lives. Lord, it pleased you. You saved us. Thank you for the salvation of our souls.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, it pleased you. You delivered us from the clutches of the enemy. Father, we thank you for deliverance today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, there are some that are present here today that are just looking up to you for one thing or the other. And Lord, by experience, we know when we gather together like this, anything can happen. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will meet every need at the point of need today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, do in our lives better than we can imagine for ourselves. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise and we give you glory.
Hallelujah.
For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
While we're still standing, let's take our text this morning from Jonah chapter 2. We continue our sermon series on Jonah. And we're going to be reading Jonah chapter 2. We dealt with Jonah chapter 1 last week. And today we're moving on to Jonah chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 2 from verse 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And God and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Friends, if you are going through any affliction, the Almighty God is the only person you want to cry unto. Because he's the one that has the power to save and to deliver. Jonah said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy hill. Say, I may feel rejected and dejected, but I will not give up on God. And that's what he's saying. He said, even though I feel like I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy hill. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up. Hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Friends, there are many lessons to learn from the story of Job, of Jonah. He said, when my spirit was fainting inside of me, I did not say, oh me, I'm dying. I remembered the Lord. May you remember the Lord in the time of trouble. Friends, as obvious as that may sound, not everybody remembers God in the time of trouble. May you remember the Lord in the time of your trouble. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Friends, let me just talk about that because we may not get back to it. To observe lying vanities, said they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. To observe lying vanities is to pay attention to your situation beyond God. Now, praise the Lord. When it is time to give, or it is time for you to pay your tithe, you calculate all of your bills, and say, because of bills, I will disobey God. That is observing lying vanities. When it is time to pray, the Lord is nudging you to pray. He woke you up in the middle of the night. You woke up, you knew it was time to pray. You said, but I feel sleepy. I'm just going to go back to sleep. You are observing lying vanities. When the Lord begins to nudge you, that speak to that fellow, tell him about Jesus. You say, they're going to laugh at me. Guess what? You are observing lying vanities. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It means God has something in stock for you. And if you will obey him in that situation, you will see the mercy of the Lord. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may please be seated. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. Put your hands together properly. This choir, the angels and the heavens are clapping for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we continue our sermon series today, last week we talked about Jonah part 1, and the title of that sermon was, Here I Am, Send Him. Today we are talking about the power of repentance. And as we continue our sermon series on the prophet Jonah, I would like to reiterate four things from last week. Number one, I told us that as a believer, it is absolutely important that you are able to hear God's voice. Jonah had God severally. Unfortunately for Jonah, he chose to disobey God. May you hear the voice of the Lord. May you hear the direction that God is giving you for your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to admonish us. Don't be like wrong way Jim Marshall. You know, when the Lord speaks, go where the Lord has sent you. Number two, we saw that disobedience can be very costly. Disobedience can be costly. For Jonah, God said, go to Nineveh. But he chose to go to Tarshish. And even though going to Nineveh, there was really no price. He just gets on the donkey and he goes to Nineveh. But to go to Tarshish, he had to pay a fare to go to Nineveh. To go to Tarshish. When you are in disobedience, there will be losses. The Bible says the men that were on the same boat with Jonah had to toss their weirs. Why? Because there was disobedience on the boat. Number three, we saw that all through the storm, Jonah was sleeping very peacefully in the boat. The Bible says he went to the inner side of the boat and he was sleeping. Friends, please listen to this. Listen to this. This is a point I skipped last week. Listen to this. Very, very important. The fact that you are at peace with your situation does not mean you are in the will of God for your life. Is somebody hearing me? So I have peace about it. I have peace about it. Have you ever had anybody say they have peace about a situation that was obviously wrong? You haven't? I have. You know, and you are just in shock. Say, you cannot do this. You say, I have peace about it, and that's what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. So the fact that you are at peace does not mean God is in it. Jonah was very much at peace with himself. In fact, he slept through the storm. All the time the folks were throwing their wares off the ship, Jonah was sleeping peacefully. So you might be peaceful with yourself, but it doesn't mean God is with you. Amen? Some people have grown accustomed to sin that nothing pricks them anymore. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart today in the mighty name of Jesus. Number four, we saw that the mercy of God is always steering us back to God. And what do I mean by this? We saw that in the case of Jonah, even though he was running away from God, of course God knew him. We read Psalm 139 last week. That he said, wherewithal will I run away from thy presence? I cannot run away from your presence. Even though Jonah was attempting to run away from God's presence, guess what? God was chasing after him. The Bible says because of Jonah, because his ship was heading in the wrong direction, God sent a great wind to the sea. You see, even though that situation looked very bad, but that was God in action. Can you imagine if God has sent a monster to them? Or God has sent the demon? Or the devil? God did not send the devil. Everything that was happening was micromanaged. God was controlling the wind. He made sure that the wind did not capsize the boat. That is still the mercy of God. Sometimes the things you seem to be suffering and you consider to be suffering, it is God himself steering you back to himself just to get your attention. The Bible says when they finally tossed Jonah in the sea, guess what? The scripture, this is Bible, read your Bible, John chapter 1. It said, and the Lord prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. So the fish swallowing Jonah was still the mercy of God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God is a merciful God. What you are going through, God is in it. Praise the Lord. It says all things. Somebody say all things. All things work together for good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So I want you to remember these four things as we go forward today. So as we go forward today, I want to remind you that the commandments of God are not grievous. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. Whatever it is the Lord is asking you to do, friends, believe me, they are not grievous. God will never ask you to do what you are not capable of accomplishing. Many people say, oh, I can't do that. Well, I think I can't do that would be a better thing to say. Or I believe I cannot do that. Praise the Lord. Because for me, if you know how many years I ran from being pastor, even after I've been pastor, I regretted accepting to be pastor. I was like, Jonah, I said, Lord, this is the reason why I didn't want to do this job. You see what is happening? Are you the cause of it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The commandments of God are not grievous. Whatever the Lord is asking you to do, believe me, he's got your back. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is a different kind of boss. You know, when your boss gives you an assignment, he expects you to go get the job done and bring the report to him. If your job, if your boss has to hold your hands to help you do that job, not you, but that person is about to be fired. If I have to do your job for you, then I don't need you. But that is not God. When God sends you, he goes with you. He does the work with you. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, God suffers when I suffer. That is big. That is something. He suffers when I suffer. So the commandments of God are not grievous. Amen? And the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. So today, we will be looking at Jonah's repentance. Friends, I tell you the truth and I lie not. It does not matter for how long you have been going the wrong direction. The day you realize you're heading the wrong direction, please make a U-turn. And that is what repentance is all about. Making a U-turn. If I'm going to Austin and I head 35 South, how many of you know that I won't get to Austin? I may get there, but it will take forever. I don't know, does 35 go all the way around? No. It's straight on. Straight on. 35 is straight on. Except you get to the end of 35 and then you turn back and head. You have to head north to get to Austin. You have to if you are going from San Antonio. So it really doesn't matter for how long you have been heading in the wrong direction. You must understand when God begins to speak to you, you need to make amends and make a U-turn and turn around and head in the right direction. So today we'll be looking at the repentance of Jonah. And a couple of examples, one other example that I'd like to share with us very quickly. And I mentioned this very briefly last week. When you open to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. This is King Manasseh. The Bible said concerning King Manasseh, listen to this. Manasseh was worse than the heathens. It's like saying a born-again believer is worse in doing terrible things than an unbeliever. A non-believer is the person that is referred to as what? A sinner. A sinner is not a sinner because they commit sin. A sinner sins because he's a sinner. Does that make sense? You sin because you are a sinner. That's who you are. Praise the Lord. You speak English because you are an American. There's no other language for you. Well, maybe Spanish. Praise the Lord. So you are, the act is as a result of the nature. Your nature is not changed because of your act. Your act is a product of who you are. That's why the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when somebody speaks, you can guess what is going on their inside. Is somebody listening? Praise the Lord. So King Manasseh, the Bible says he was worse than heathens. But praise the Lord, he came back to God. 2 Chronicles 33 verse 12, the Bible says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Verse 13. And prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and had his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was his God. Friends, what I'm saying here, very simple. If you will repent, God will accept you. If you will change your mind and change your ways, God will receive you. You know, a lot of times, one of the reasons why after some people have messed up a great deal, you don't want to go back to that place because you think everybody will be looking at you all terrible. Not with God. When you repent and the Lord forgives you, the forgiveness of God brings about a forgetfulness about your situation if you truly repent. Praise the Lord. So if a person, listen to this, If a person is in disobedience, they have a few options. Hallelujah. And all these options were open to Jonah. But we're going to see which option Jonah took. Number one, if I'm living in disobedience, I can make excuses for my disobedience. I can say, well, that's just who I am. Or I can say, well, God understands. God knows the times that we live in, so the Lord will understand. That is not true. Number two, you can live in denial. That is, you pretend as if nothing is the matter. And this was the case of David in his situation with Bathsheba. The Bible says when kings went to war in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when kings went to war, David hung out at home. And he sat on his, he went to his balcony, and then he saw this beautiful lady taking a bath. And he just couldn't hold himself. He just lost control. Praise the Lord. Took the woman, slept with the woman. The woman became pregnant. And once he knew that the woman was pregnant, guess what? He said, we have to cover this thing up. So he said, who is the husband? They said, Uriah. I said, okay, bring Uriah from war. Uriah was one of his soldiers. He said, bring him back from war. Let him go home and spend time with his wife so that we can just cover this thing and say it was when he came that his wife became pregnant. But the man was so loyal to the king and to the nation, the man refused to go home. He said, I cannot go home and be hanging out with my wife when the nation is at war. He refused to go home. So the king said, he didn't go home. They said, no, he didn't go home. Okay. So let's make him drunk. They made him, the guy just would not go. Guess what? He wrote a letter, gave to the guy, said, take it to your commander. And that was actually his death sentence, and the guy didn't know it. You know, because he was so loyal to the king, they gave him a letter. He didn't even read the letter. And the letter was stating to the commander, he says, put this guy where the battle is hottest. And let everybody abandon him. And the guy died. And David thought that was the end of it. He was in denial. He did not want to accept that he has done something wrong. So he was trying to cover it up. But you see, the Bible says, whosoever covereth a sin shall not prosper. Praise the Lord. So, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet of God came and told him a parable. And David said, whoever did that, I will cut off his head. He's a dead man. They said, you are the man. Thou art the man. But he repented. Friends, it is no use covering up sin because God can see it. Yeah, praise the Lord. Or number three. So number one, you can make excuses. Number two, you can live in denial. Number three, you can blame God, just like Job's wife. Job's wife in Job chapter 2 verse 9, he said, curse God and die. Curse God and die. Why will God allow all of this stuff to happen to you? You are such a good person. You are a church person. You go to church. You pray. You give. You do. You fast. You. See, pride in itself is coming in. Everything is about you. Everything is about me. I, myself, and me. Hey, praise the Lord. Everything was about him. Praise the Lord. So they blamed God. She blamed God. Said, God is the reason for all of this. Just curse God and die. And number four, you can attempt to run away from God. This is backsliding. Say, you know what? If God will allow me to go through all of these things, then I'm not going to serve this God anymore. Such was the case of Demas. We don't know what happened to Demas, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Apostle Paul writes, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He fell in love with the world. He abandoned God. He abandoned Christ. Friends, the right step for you and I to take, once you find that you are in the wrong, is a step of repentance. And that's the fifth option. The fifth option that I have is repent and be right with God, like Jonah did. The Bible says, out of the belly of the fish, Jonah cried to God. he realized his folly. He knew God had called him. He knew the instruction. He understood the instruction, but he decided to do what he wanted to do. Don't we do that? A lot of times we do that. We know the right thing to do, but we choose not to do the right thing. And then we justify our position. But such was not the case of Jonah. You will realize that it was Jonah himself that said they should cast him into the sea. And when the fish swallowed him, as soon as he landed in the belly of the fish, he looked around. Everywhere was dark. He said, this must be hell. He said, but while I'm at it, Lord, please, I remember you today. Have mercy on me. And he began to pray to God. So the question I have this morning, what then is repentance? What really is repentance? Jonah remembered God in the belly of the fish and he prayed and God heard him. I want you to know this truth today, please. Very important. If you have not heard everything I've said before now, I want you to please hear this. It is absolutely important for you and I to know that God loves you. Not only does God love me, God is madly in love with me. And is madly in love with you. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, the Bible says the love he has for you, the love he has for me is an everlasting love. It is not a conditional love that he will love me today and not love me so much tomorrow. Your husband may love you today and forsake you tomorrow, but God says my love for you is a permanent kind of love as long as you are alive. Because after death is judgment. I hope we know that. Praise the Lord. So, know that God is madly in love with you. He's so much in love with you that he gave his only begotten son because of you and because of me. So, it's good that we set the parameters from the very beginning. You know, this is still giving a background. Okay? So, God loves you so much. God loves me so much. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, Romans 8 and verse 32. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Somebody say all things. God wants to give you that thing that you want more than you want it. Praise the Lord. Think about it. Jesus was God's ace card, and he gave it because of you. He gave that card. He gave Jesus because of you and because of me. What will he not give unto us if he can give Jesus? Let me shock some people today. I'm not going to give my child because of anybody. He said, even the one that is not doing well, I love all of them. It doesn't matter what they're doing. I ain't going to give any of them up, none. But the only one, the only begotten son that God had, he gave because of you, because of me. So it's very important that we know this as we move forward and we proceed here. When John the Baptist started his ministry, guess how he started? Repent. Repent. When Jesus started his ministry, guess what? Repent. There's something about repentance that is crucial to us making the next step in life. For as long as we are in sin or in disobedience, that next step will always elude us. But we will repent and the Lord will take us higher in the name of Jesus. This is how Charles Spurgeon described repentance. Charles Spurgeon. It says, repentance... Can you please show the slide? Repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin, a mourning that we have committed it, that we have committed sin. Repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin and a mourning that we have committed it, that is committed sin. A resolution to forsake the sin. It is, in fact, a change of mind of a very deep and practical character which makes the man love what once he hated and hate what once he loved. He's saying that repentance is very simple. It's number one, to discover that you are in the wrong. And that is just half the battle, to know that I'm wrong. It says you must proceed from knowing that you're wrong. You are sorrowful about your wrong. Have you seen where somebody did an evil against you and then you challenge them and say, yes, I did it. What are you going to do? We had a business some time ago and this guy that was working for us was sleeping on the job. And my wife walks in and caught him sleeping. Say, you're sleeping on the job. Say, yes. What you going to do? What you going to do? I said, he did. She said, yes. Say, he must have another employment. He was warned and then he did it again and then he was fired. I guess he had some extra money somewhere. When the money was gone, he came back looking for a job. I said, I know. What you going to do now? So, after you have discovered that you are in the wrong way or heading in the wrong direction, there must be a godly sorrow within you that you feel bad. You feel that this is not the right thing to do. I have reproached the name of God. I have disobeyed the one that loves me so much and pays so much of a price for my soul. I have let God down. If you truly love your spouse and you let your spouse down, that is kind of sort of what it feels like. You're like pleading with your spouse. Baby, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Yes, that was my low moment. But if you forgive me, it's never going to happen again. So there's a mourning for sin and a resolution to forsake it. You see, out of the three steps, some people never make all three. They make some, but they never make all three. They may take the first step, they realize they are wrong, or maybe go forward, take the second step, feel sorry that they did wrong, but then they love the sin too much. They continue in the sin, and every time it's like they go forward, they go back. They do it. They come back. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never do it again. And then they go back, and they do it again, and then they go back. And it's just like that, oscillating back and forth. The Lord will deliver today. I said the Lord will deliver today in the mighty name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, the reason I'm speaking to us about this is very simple. Please understand this. The Lord gave us a word for the month, that the month of November for us will be the month of wonders without number. And as we continue to seek the face of the Lord is saying, until there is a change of heart, there will be no wonders without number. Until there's a realigning of ourselves, our lives, with God and the purpose of God for our lives, then it might just be a good thing that we are hearing that God can do wonders without number. Can I tell you? Since the beginning of the month, there have been many testimonies. Somebody busted into my office yesterday morning and said, Pastor, I have a testimony. I have a testimony. And this person was so overjoyed. What they have been waiting on the Lord for over a year, they just got an email that is confirming an outstanding miracle. I'll let them share their own miracle, their own testimony themselves. Outstanding. Outstanding. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Praise the Lord. I don't know in what area you have been disobedient. For Jonah, God sent him on an evangelistic campaign. And Jonah said, God, you are wrong. How many of us are saying God is wrong? Praise the Lord. Do you know that God plants us in different places to accomplish his purpose? Some of us, the reason we work where we work is so that we can bring those people to Christ. But unfortunately, we have never told anybody about Christ at that job. I told you before, there was a young lady that visited the church at a time. You know, somebody, I don't know who, somebody invited her to church. So she came. And she came, had the word of the Lord, and gave her life to Christ. Guess what? She worked the same job with one of our ministers. And the minister never said anything about Jesus to her. So when she saw her in church, she was surprised to see her in church. And to see that she came to church and gave her life to Christ was another shocker. Friends, God is counting on you. And God believes in you. Now somebody say, God believes in me. God believes in you. I don't want you to look down on yourself. God firmly believes in you. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A time of refreshing is coming. Somebody say amen. I say a time of refreshing is coming. Say amen. Amen. Believe me, a time of refreshing is coming. God wants to turn things around for us. He wants to make you a sample of his glory and of his goodness in the mighty name of Jesus. That when you walk up, people that knew you before, when they see you again, they say, God must be real. You know what I'm saying? They will say, God, this God, what's your name? Cindy. Cindy is such an encouragement. She's just smiling and listening attentively. God will make you a wonder. In the mighty name of Jesus. God wanted to use Jonah to display his majesty, but Jonah said no. You see, a lot of times by disobeying God, what we are really depriving ourselves of is the wonder and the signs of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Friends, God loves you, and God loves me. One of the things that hinders us from repenting, or the things that we need to repent of, there are so many things, I'm just going to talk about one, is self-righteousness. Martin Luther wrote, he said, the most damnable and pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man is that somehow he can make himself good enough to deserve to live forever with an holy God. Our salvation is not the result of any of our efforts, abilities, intelligent choices, personal characteristics, or acts of service that we may perform. Friends, God is waiting for you and I to come to him. How many of us know the story of the prodigal son? Thank you. The prodigal son, you know how when after someone dies, you know, they read the estate and say this goes to this and that goes to that and that goes to that. Well, this guy figured, well, my father has two sons. Whatever he has is going to be split between my brother and I. He said, okay, so dad, before you die, I know you're going to die. I mean, it's appointed unto man wants to die. I know you will die. It doesn't matter how you pretend that you will live forever. You will die. He said, so, but I'm not ready to wait for you to die. Whatever is my stuff from your stuff, give it to me now. First of all, if a child tells you that, you're like thinking, this guy is wishing that I'm dead. And that's not a good feeling. You know? Yeah, this guy must be wishing that I'm dead. So the father said, okay, you didn't argue with him, split everything I gave to him. And he went, and the Bible says he lived a riotous life. He squandered, he ate everything in a short time. And he became very, very hungry. Praise the Lord. Listen, I know you know the end of the story, but put yourself in the position of the father. So the boy now comes back home after many years of living recklessly. So, I'm so sorry, Daddy. You are? Go back and eat the pig food that you were eating before. You know, but the Bible says the father with open arms received him. His arms were open. Friends, do not let the enemy deceive you. I don't care what you have done. If you repent, God will accept you. Praise the Lord. The enemy will tell you that of everything. Don't let the pastor know. If the pastor knows that that is who you are, you're finished. Or if Sister XYZ or Brother, borrow me a name. Brother Victor. If Brother Victor knows, you are out of the choir. But friends, don't be afraid of man. God loves you and is madly in love with you. And he wants you back. He wants you back. He wants you back. You say, well, I have gone too far doing this stuff. I can't come back. Yes, you can. Someone say, yes, I can. Yes, you can come back. Yes, you can come back. Do not let the enemy deceive you that you are too far gone to come back. Friends, there is reward for obedience. And there's reward for repentance. When you open to Job chapter 11, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Job chapter 11. We read from verse 13. Very quickly. Job 11 from verse 13. If you're there, please read for me. Okay. Job 11, 13. It said, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hand towards him. Next, please. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that passed away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. This is what he's talking about, the reward of repentance. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. Friends, listen to me. After God called Jonah, the prophet of God, a sound prophet, he prophesied and it came to pass. He was a renowned prophet, but he disobeyed God. See, it doesn't matter your status with God. When you disobey, there are consequences. For Jonah, he was swallowed by a whale. You can't even imagine what that is. Being swallowed by a fish. And you're in the belly of the fish. You know how when some people are hungry, you're hearing. Can you imagine all the in the waves, in the fish belly? You know, when you hear it, I know it will be echoed loudly inside. If we can hear it that loud outside, I think Kashina was doing it one day. You know, but can you imagine how loud it was? How loud it was inside. Alexis, don't laugh too loud because it always happens to you. Praise the Lord. You know, the fish, the belly of the fish must have been growling. The sound of it must have been petrifying for Jonah. But he cried unto the Lord. Look, in Job 11, 13 to 19 that we read, I want to show us nine things. Nine rewards of repentance. Number one, it says you will lift up your face without spot. When you read it in contemporary English, what that is simply saying is that you will do that. If you repent, it says you could look to God without shame. If you will repent, you can look up to God without. How many of us, when you have sinned, it's difficult to pray? I'm raising my hand because I know what I'm talking about. That's why. I'm not saying, you know. When you sin, if you still have a heart that is knitted to Christ, when you sin, you are like ashamed to approach God. You are afraid to go into his presence. But he says, if you repent, you will be able to look at God without shame. Number two, he says, you will be steadfast. That's verse 15b. He said, you will be steadfast. And what that simply means is, you can stand strong. The Lord will keep you standing strong. You will be able to stand strong against every machinations of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Number three, very quickly, he says, you will not fear. You will not be afraid. Verse 15, he says, you will not be afraid. He said, you will stand strong and will not be afraid. And then number four, he says, you will forget your misery. Friends, repentance is good. God loves repentant hearts. When I approach God with a heart of penitence, God is saying, he will cause me to forget my misery. Friends, I have messed up big time in my short life. In fact, if I tell you some of the things that I've done, you'll be like, let's look for another church. But God is a merciful God, is the point I'm trying to make here. He will cause you to forget the misery of your sin. But you see, the trap of the enemy is to keep you in that sin. You know, it's like the story of a little boy. Him and the housemaid, they were walking one day, and this boy accidentally broke his father's favorite china. So anytime it was time for the maid to wash, do the dishes, he would ask the boy to go do the dishes. The boy said, but it's not my job, that's your job to do the dishes. He said, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to tell that you broke your daddy's favorite china. So the boy will quickly go and wash. And then another day, it's time to sweep the floor. He said, go sweep the floor. The boy said, no, it's not my job. That's your job. He said, I will tell on you. Then the boy will go sweep the floor. Then one day, the boy went and met the dad. He said, Dad, remember that's your favorite china? He said, yes, I broke it. No, that's okay. But be careful next time. You know, don't be breaking stuff like that. Be careful next time. So the next time the maid came and said, go do the dishes. Said, I'm not doing the dishes. Said, I will tell. Said, I told on myself. No point trying to. I told on myself already. What repentance is exactly that. Tell on yourself. It's not that God doesn't know already. Tell on yourself and make a decisive decision not to go back. And the Lord will help you. What number are we on? Number five. Number six. Oh, number five. Okay, number five, verse 17. Verse 17 says, your age will be clearer than noonday. Your age will be clearer than noonday. That is Old King James English. In contemporary language, it's saying your life will be brighter than the sunshine at noon. When I repent and I make right with God, it's saying my life will be renewed and my life will be radiant. My life will shine brighter than the noonday. It does not matter how backwards I have gone. God will renew my life and he will take me and give me double promotion against all of my enemies. In the name of Jesus. Number seven. Number six. I'm in a hurry. That's why. Number six. It says you will shine forth as the day. Modern day English. Life's darkest hours will shine like the morning sun for you. It means your darkest moments, God will step into your situation and it will turn everything around for you. It will make your life better than you have ever imagined for yourself. But friends, I must come clean with God first of all. If there is turbulence, if there are problems, it might be that there are hidden or unconfessed sins in my life that needs to be repented of. Number seven now. Number seven, it says, you will be secure because there is hope for you. It said, because there is hope, you will be secure. Why? Because there is hope for me in Christ Jesus. Friends, there is hope for you in Christ Jesus. It is important that you know that with Christ, I have everything. There is nothing broken, nothing missing in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number 8, he said, you will lie without fear from anyone. After you have confessed and you have repented of your sins, friends, it doesn't matter how many housemates are telling you you broke the china. You just tell them daddy knows already. Amen. And if you want to rub it in my face, too bad for you. God has forgiven me. God has forgotten, but you keep reminding yourself. Not me. Because God is not remembering and I've forgotten. You know, the stories I will have told you, but I've forgotten. No, that's not true. Praise the Lord. But God has forgotten. He has forgiven you and he has forgotten about it. But not until you repent. And finally, number 9. It says, many will entreat your favor. You become the favored one. You become the favored one. Please rise to your feet this morning. Rise on your feet. And the real question this morning is, what must I repent from? What must I repent from? You are the best person to answer that question for yourself. But I have a suggestion for you. Please look up. What must I repent from? We definitely must repent from not preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I definitely must repent of not sharing the message of Christ with other people. Friends, let me tell you a quick story and I'm pretty much done. You know, there's a story of some people that for some reason, a bunch of them, maybe like 5 of them, they fell into a manhole. You know what a manhole is? A big one. 5 of them, they crashed into this big hole. And they couldn't get out. They screamed and screamed and screamed for help. Nobody came to their rescue. Finally, a young man was walking by. He looked in the manhole. He tried to reach out to pull them. He couldn't reach them. He went about looking for a rope, found a rope, and pulled one of them out. Are you listening to me? He managed to pull one of them out, but he was busy. He had an appointment. But he stopped to help them. He went about to look for a rope to pull them out. And then finally, he pulled one of them out. He said, guy, at least I pulled you out. You help the others. I'm almost late for my appointment. So he ran off. But guess what this guy did? He put the rope by the side of the hole and said, keep screaming. Maybe the next person will throw you a line. Friends, that is what you and I do. Somebody threw you a line for you to be saved today. But you have left the rope on the side and you have walked away. The people that are not saved that you know, they are in that manhole. But you refuse to throw them a line. I want you to bow your hearts this morning. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Confess. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry of ignoring men and women around me that need to hear the gospel of Christ. I'm sorry that I have not been doing the work of an evangelist as you have commanded. Just repent of your sin. The first step, remember, is to acknowledge your sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin today. I confess my sin today. And Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry. I make a decision today, a conscious decision, to forsake your sin. I say, Lord, from today, everyone I meet, everywhere I go, I will speak of your great name. I will speak of your goodness. I will speak of your love to me. How you threw me a line and brought me out of the terrible pit. Psalm 40 says, he took me out of the terrible pit. He set my feet upon the rock to stay. Say, Lord, I will tell all how you saved me. Lord, I will tell all from today how you redeemed me. I will tell all how you have been kind to me. I will tell of your goodness. And I will do the work of an evangelist. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, before we close, We'll close in about 3 minutes. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, please keep talking to the Lord. Maybe the Lord is bringing some other things to your remembrance right now that you need to repent of. Repent. 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 The one that needs to know about your situation, he knows about your situation. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. They might think you are all that, but before God, you are nothing. Confess to him and repent. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will not withhold anything, Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord. Is there anybody here this morning you say, you know what, Pastor? You spoke to me this morning. I need prayers. Please come forward very quickly. Our time is fast spent. I only have like 2-3 minutes and I have to be out of here. He said, you have spoken to me, Pastor. You have spoken to me. You've spoken to me. You've spoken to me. Anybody else? Anybody else? I have 2 people here. We want to pray. We want to pray. Le karia bakoso tombredia radaboshantalia. Le pakustombredia radaboshaketelia radada. Lord, we surrender all. We surrender all to you. We surrender all to you. Le makorono mosheketelia. Father, we thank you. Lord, we withhold nothing from you today.
Yes.
Lord, we let it all hang out.
Yes.
Lord, there's nothing we want to tell you that you don't already know.
Yes.
We are just acknowledging our ways before you. You already know it. Father, I ask for your mercy today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, even those that ought to have come out, I refuse to come. Lord, I pray that you will continue to nudge them. Let there be conviction in every heart. Because, Lord, your word says to obey is better than sacrifice. Many love the praise of men more than the praise of God. But, Lord, I pray that you will touch every heart. And, Lord, you will cause there to be a change of heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we return all the praise and all the glory unto you. Lord, we thank you for the service today. Let your will be done.
Yes.
Let your name be glorified.
Yes.
Continually.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as many as have genuinely repented of their ways today, Lord, I pray that in the week ahead, Lord, you will cause them to return bearing fruit.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we will minister your word. The Bible says that the Lord, salvation is of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, as we share your goodness and your love with others, Lord, we will come back with a harvest of souls.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, those that have repented, Lord, I ask that, Lord, you will turn the situation around.
Amen.
Your word says, when Jonah cried unto you from the belly of the fish, you heard him and you answered him. Lord, as we have cried unto you today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will not ignore us, but, Lord, you will incline to our words. You will turn unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise